ball spark.
You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Monday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Get into all kinds of different football stuff. Jim Traber comes up at 9:30. We'll hit everything from the college to the professional gridiron scene last night. Was pretty awesome up in New England. Tom Brady was making his triumphant return to play Bill Belichick and the Pats. That was really cool. Around the league yesterday, one of Jared's preseason favorites played awesome. And at this point, looking like maybe the MVP leader has to probably be Kyler Murray. Maybe. That offense is rolling so far. Let's see who else is rolling in the NFL. After an inexplicable week one loss at home to Pittsburgh, Buffalo. Buffalo's rolling. So we'll talk about a bunch of that different stuff in the NFL, college football as well. With the Sooner and Cowboys, they just keep winning somehow. They find ways to win no matter what happens. It just seems, I was trying to look up the stats, how often you win a game -3 in the turnover margin, which is exactly what Oklahoma State did. Not only won it, but, won it by double digits and covered the spread. Cincinnati is probably the team of the week with that win at Notre Dame. So we'll talk about that. Georgia, Alabama, both very, very impressive. And it's Texas week. OU Texas coming up on Saturday, one of the best rivalries in college football. High school from Friday night as the Elks suffered their first loss. Tried to get back on track with a home game for the first time since August. Coming up homecoming this week against Chickasha. We'll run down both 4A1 and A1, what happened over back on Friday night and where things sit so far in the district race. So that's kind of what we've got on tap for today. What do you think, Jared? How are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, wonderful. How was your weekend?
It was eventful. Very eventful.
Look, you had a bunch of people at your house.
We had a birthday party, so we had basically every kid who attends Canute schools at our house. It was pretty packed and all outside. Thank God for the great weather we had Saturday late afternoon and evening. It was a lot of fun. Big thanks to everybody who came out. That meant a lot. Really did. So Katie had a great time, and we as a family had a good time, and then had a good time cleaning up Sunday morning and watched a lot of football or in between on Saturday and Sunday. So good weekend. How was yours? How was the event?
It was wonderful. Have you not heard?
What? No.
Oh, well.
Is everything okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean,
you worried me like that.
It was golf team fundraiser down here in Elk City.
Right.
And they named it after my dad. And so my junior year, that our golf team that won the state title, I was trying to think if it was the first time we've all been on the same golf course since leaving Cushing.
Yeah.
In May of 1998. We might have all, that summer, a couple of the business people here in town took us to Karsten. It had just kind of been open up there in Stillwater.
Right.
So I can't remember. I think everybody went. So maybe that was the last time, sometime in that summer. But it'd been a long time. But we all were back. We all played together with Coach Hunt. Threw up balls because, no one really wanted to create the teams out of the six guys, 3 2-man teams. So we just let,
let fate decide. Right?
That's right.
Yeah.
The fickle finger of fate decide. And turned out that it looked like we probably did pick the teams. Because the two guys that were seniors got paired up together, myself and Dustin, and then Twyman and Hunt, which is probably, if somebody was picking, probably the way they'd have picked the teams. And it was fun, man. A lot of trash talk back and forth, a lot of fun. You're just ribbing each other back and forth. But at the end, Dustin and I beat everybody in our group. We beat Hunt and Twyman by one. We beat Tyler and Van by three. And then it turned out that we shot a good enough score to be in a playoff for the tournament. And I birdied number one. on my own ball, but Travis Poole did too. We played Travis Poole and Heston Brown, which a couple guys that are over there at Southwestern right now. So it's young guys versus old guys for sure.
Cool.
You know, and so I birdied number one. Travis did too. So we went to number nine, continued the playoff, and my man Gunkel, Dustin Gunkel, rolled it in from about, I don't know, 20 feet. I hit it in there about 8 feet, never had to putt. I just picked up my coin, and it was a lot of fun.
Cool.
A lot of fun. So the old guys, score one for the old guys.
The rain didn't...
The has-beens. Now, it cleared out. And now it,
I mean, I know Friday night, you know, we're driving home in that monsoon, mm-hmm. what it felt like, and it looked like a lot more was coming all night. So I was wondering, how's the golf course going to play on
Saturday? There were a few cart path-only holes because of the rain.
Sure.
Number one, number three, number eight, number 14 and 15, which is the one you'd expect. So it was vitally important to hit it next to the cart path on those holes. For me, at least, mm-hmm. especially as we got further along. I don't need to be walking around. I'll get tired. But no, I'm teasing. You know, it was a great time. it was a beautiful, you're right. By the time we were getting done, it was gorgeous. The sun came out. The wind didn't blow at all. It was just such a nice fall day. It's exactly what you hope for on you know, when you have something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it was. It was just gorgeous. And so it was a lot of fun. Raised a lot of money for the golf teams and hopefully continue that tradition that was been built all those years ago here in Elk City. Speaking of Elk City, speaking of the Elks, man, Friday night just did not go Elk City's way. 27-6, Bethany tripped up the Elks, first loss of the season for Elk City. So they're 4-1 overall, 1-1 in district play. You know, people were asking me on Saturday out there, what happened? You know what? And I'm like, listen, 27-6. It probably wasn't that big a spread between those two teams, but it's just the way the game went. Bethany was the better team on Friday night. I'm not sitting here saying, oh, the Elks had a chance to win and blew it. That's not – it never really – once the kickoff return happened to start the second quarter, it always felt like it was – like the Elks were just climbing up the hill and couldn't get to the top of it ever.
Right.
You know, it's both teams score long drives to start the game. Matter of fact, each team got the ball once in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Both of them, you know, what was it, 11 play, 65-yard drive for Bethany, and then the Elks turned around, went 15 plays, 80 yards, and took up, you know, they scored a touchdown. Daylon scored on the first play of the second quarter. And so, you know, it was one of those games to start, and then the kickoff return happened, and, you know, 13-6, and then it was just one of those games where, and we talked with Ryan Abernathy, the play-by-play voice of the Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
And it played out. An obvious advantage was Dax Jaggers, the kickoff guy for Bethany, and
yeah.
Malaska, the punter. They did such a good job keeping the Elks all. It's, I mean, how many times did it feel like Elk City started at the 20-yard line, or worse, field
right.
position wise? And the Elks moved it between from like the 20 to the Bethany 40. It felt like they'd get there in three or four plays, and then it would just kind of bog down. It was like a fence was built at the 25-yard line or something, and the Elks just, outside of that first possession, just never could continue drives. You know, they piled up more yards than Bethany. You know, the stats are way more of an even game than 27-6, right? I mean, it just is. But that's not the – you know, stats aren't the way that you figure out who wins and loses. And Bethany did a nice job of – when they had their opportunities, they took advantage of them. You know, Elk City's defense outside of that first drive was pretty good all night. You know, not.
I thought it was.
I thought they were pretty good, but it just wasn't enough.
No.
And so Bethany beats the Elks 27-6, first loss of the year. But you know, there's still. I think there's still positives to take from that. You know, Bethany had 9 guys in the box basically all night long on defense. And Elk City still ran it for almost 250.
Right.
You know, and so that's, you know, those are certain things that you can really build on. Obviously, kind of getting more people involved in the passing game is going to be something that's going to be a must, I think, in situations like that. And I think for me, the biggest takeaway of the whole thing is it is vitally important for the Elks to be ahead because they're just simply not built to be much of a comeback team.
Right. That's same thing on Saturday, people asking me. You know, man, look like I didn't watch it. Looked like the Elks got beat pretty bad. Like, not really. That you take away the kick return and the turnover first play of the third quarter, and it's a closer ball game than what that score said. And then, like you said, the stats. But you're right. I mean, that was my question, or my common answer was the offense is built to get a two-score lead and go on one of those long drives like you mentioned. It's not really built to get out of a hole like it was, like they were in all night. Like you said, it felt like a constant battle to, you know, run up a snow-covered hill, you know, just constant, you know, just couldn't get over that hill. But is what it is. Like I said, Friday night, it's a long season. We get the goals for Elk City are still very much in play. It's going to have to take some help, a loss here and there for some other teams. But Elk City can control their own fate. They just take care of their own business and win the games they need to win and challenge the contenders and all that stuff. So it's a very, very doable goal as far as district titles concerned and obviously playoffs. I think playoffs are, with the way the other results happen on Friday night, that goal is becoming more and more obtainable, don't you believe?
Yeah, I do. These next few weeks are going to be huge.
There's one key game I keep circling on my calendar. And it's at Cash.
You got to win this. Well, you got to win these two home games.
Right.
From what's happened so far in the district. So Clinton handled Chickasha 54-14. Newcastle went down to Cash and got a win 21-7. And then the shocker of the night in 4A1 was Weatherford jumping out in front 27-13 against Elgin, and then the Owls reel off 20 straight to win that game 33-27. And you look at the standings, nobody through 2 weeks had Weatherford and Cash 0-2 at the bottom in the cellar of the district. So that's, you know, maybe the names are a little bit different than what you thought it was going to be as far as where the standings are, but it's still, with Oak City having Chickasha here on Friday night, followed up next Thursday on fall break with Weatherford, and then that game at Cash. Those three, if you can win all three of those games, you're in a really nice spot with two games to go to not only make it to the playoffs, but then you can kind of, depending on what happens, you can kind of start letting your mind wander a little bit of, hey, we go 30 miles to the east, pull off an upset in week nine. Now are you creating a three-way tie for the district title? With Clinton and Bethany being that last week. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But that's a long ways down the road. And the Elks have got to, you know, we can sit here and talk about it, but for them, they've got to be able to win these next two home games. And then I think you're right, that at Cash is going to be a huge game with regards to not only making the playoffs, but maybe even from a seeding standpoint. Because here's just the truth of it. You don't want to be fourth. You don't want to be fourth in this district, because that means your first game is probably Tuttle, and that's not what you want.
Oh, no.
You don't want to go to Tuttle first round. So, you know, to not only get yourself in the playoffs, but also try to build some seeding a little bit. You know, you'd love to be top two. It's going to be a lot harder after what happened Friday night against Bethany. It just is. And what it looks like the rest of the district is not what we thought 2 weeks ago.
Right. There's some glaring problems with the teams at the bottom, and I thought they would be – I thought this district was more evenly matched, and I think the cream of the crop starting to rise with some of the results. And then we're getting a clearer picture of where we are as Elk City and where some other teams are. My head's still spinning about that Weatherford result. I've gone back, watched the film. I think, and I'm not trying to insert excuses, but it looked like they had some injuries and they had some kids playing, some younger guys playing in spots they're not really used to. And Elgin, I mean, hats off to Elgin. They took advantage of it. But my head spins because I think what we saw in Elgin, I thought, man, they're going to be lucky to win a game for the rest of this year. Because they did not look good at all.
Hmm.
And then that happened Friday night. It boggles my mind.
Yeah,
it boggles my mind.
That's what I got Saturday from a couple guys from over there.
Some injuries.
Yeah, and just youth. Just young.
Yeah.
It's one of those, it's kind of an in-between year, in-between classes.
It happens.
Yep. It definitely does.
That's the thing about 4A. You know, you can survive stuff like that in 6A because you have the depth to survive that. But in 5A too. But 4A is kind of that middle of the ground where a couple of injuries can really derail your season because the depth just isn't there.
Well, and the truth of it is, you know, Ethan Downs doesn't grow on trees.
That's a good point. I mean,
think about all that he did that kind of made up for other things,
right,
on both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
You know, those guys just don't come around every single year. You know, that's the reason why he's where he's at, playing at OU. You know,
and the
smaller the classes, the more of a difference a guy like that can make on both sides of the ball.
Well, look at last year in Burns Flat when their quarterback Schneeberger went down.
Mm-hmm.
That it derailed their season.
Yeah.
I mean, that's excellent example. Yeah.
Speaking of Burns Flat, man, that was a really good game at halftime. I think 14-6 halftime score.
Yeah, I thought it was close at half, and then we were driving home and checked the score, like, oh boy.
Yeah, Moreland put on the Eagles in the second half. They went 40-6. So for Burns Flat's first loss comes there to Moreland. Merritt went to Texoma and put up a heck of a fight. Just knocked off by a single point, 7-6. Thought Sayre played pretty well at Hooker, 22-7. There, the Eagles lose. And then Fairview just ran roughshod over Thomas, 53-13. So looking ahead to this week in A1.
Talk about a turnover year. I think that's what Thomas is going through, too.
No doubt about it. And they still yet to win a game. Burns Flat will head to Fairview. That could be a tough one there against the Yellow Jackets. And then the Beckham County battle is this week with Merritt and Sayre. Sayre coming over to Merritt this year in week 6. So high school football, you're right. The picture's starting to become more clear, at least to the point of – you now can kind of pick out certain games that are going to make huge differences, mm-hmm, in the way that everything shakes out after that first weekend in November to where the playoffs are going to be. Now, I have a question. I was scouring the internet for fall baseball, fast pitch softball, state brackets. I'm assuming the rain in certain areas is why we don't have those, because the regionals aren't finished. Is that kind of where you're at?
I haven't heard anything, because I was so busy this weekend. I haven't really inquired about it. I could send out a text or two and find out. But that makes a good point. There was some rain that ran through.
Yeah, Thursday, Friday.
A little bit.
You know,
yeah.
And so I'm assuming that's what the deal is, the holdup is, and then we'll probably have those by tomorrow's show. Question on the text line, did you at least get your pizza? No.
Negative.
But we ate at a fantastic place.
Yes.
Fantastic place in UConn. It was great.
I will be going back there.
I will go back, yeah.
Because they had so many menu items, you know, so I want to try more.
Yeah, on multiple menus.
Yeah.
Not only the food one, but the Bev menu looked pretty good, too.
Yeah.
You just kind of happened to be there with your wife or something.
Exactly. That's what I told Allie. I said, I'm taking you to this place, and you're driving.
And ladies, if you are, or even gentlemen, if you are a little bit more cold-natured, take a jacket. I got cold inside. You got something
I'm
here?
Being told that there will be, at least for baseball, the state tournament brackets for A and B will be out at 11.
Okay, yeah.
So everything has been played. So at 11 o'clock, they'll release something. So Skinny on Sports Report will have it.
Yeah, we'll have it tonight on the Sports Report.
We have Hammond Girls, Arapahoe Girls.
Shattuck. Let's see, Granite.
Boys.
Class B, baseball, Leedy, Class B. Lakeba Sickles, both. Oh, who else are we missing?
Well, Canute.
Canute, baseball.
I mean, we knew it going
in. What about Visai?
Boys?
Baseball.
Let's find out.
Because they had won the first game and then lost. Let's see. Here it is. Da-da-da-da-da. Nope. They got beat 4-3. By Sterling.
Oh, good effort. Good showing. 4-3.
Yep.
Yeah, they would have the one beat them twice, wouldn't they?
Hmm.
Is that right? They would have to beat them twice? No, no.
No, no, no.
No, no, no. That's wrong.
No, they beat.
I'm sorry.
They beat Wright City game one. They lost to Silo game two. So then they were waiting on the Sterling Wright City winner, which happened to be Sterling, and then Sterling beat them 4-3. They just needed to win that one game. So Sterling did what Granite did. Lost the first one and then came back and won 3 straight.
Apparently we already know an opponent for Canute.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know if it's official. Being told it's Red Oak.
Uh-oh.
18-11, Red Oak.
Mikey Wilson. Big Daddy. Big Daddy Mike Wilson. We'll be able to get some info there.
Hey, future guest.
We'll ask some. I don't know about that.
Will he go on? Yeah.
I don't know about that, but we'll be able to get a little bit of info there. All right, let's hit the college football right quick. Oklahoma and Oklahoma State both win. Sooners, offensively, probably the best game, at least against a good team. So far this season, I thought Rattler was pretty well in control throughout. Threw the one pick, which really turned out to be just a punt on a third and long.
Right.
Not as egregious as what it could have been. Running the football wise, the running backs at least all averaged right around or above 5 yards a carry. Grave 5.5, Kennedy Brooks 6.1. Kennedy Brooks got a lion's share of the carries, which I think a lot of people have been hoping would start happening, and it did.
He finally started looking like he's settling back in.
Yeah, and the offensive line was a little bit better. You know, still spreading it out to a lot of guys. Marvin Mims had the most receptions with 4 catches, 71 yards. Everybody else with 3 or 4. So, you know, the Sooners go up and they beat Kansas State 37-31. 5-0, it hasn't been the prettiest by any stretch of the imagination. There were some crazy things that happened on Saturday, but they are 5-0, going into Texas undefeated for the first time in, since what, maybe
2019? It was 19.
It was? Okay. They
started 7-0 before they lost to K-State.
Before the K-State loss, yep. Okay. I couldn't remember if that was after or before Texas. So the Horns did kind of the same thing, got a win. Bijan Robinson was awesome against TCU. Casey Thompson wasn't quite what he had been in the past few games, but enough to win. Then at OSU, Sanders throws 3 picks, and at least the first two inside the 40-yard line of Oklahoma State, and the defense comes out there and forces 2 punts from Baylor. Jaylen Warren continues to be a little bit of not a surprise at this point, but, you know, 36 carries, 125, scored 2 touchdowns. And OSU overcomes the mistakes from Sanders. Big part of it was offense, and the Pokes win 24-14.
Yeah, the thing I failed to realize about OSU when I was in, and I'll give it up to them, that got the win against a good Baylor team. But I was still kind of questioning the offense and its efficiency, and, you know, is it too early to dub them as it being fixed? But the thing I failed to realize is OSU's defense is pretty dang good, and they're going to do enough to keep OSU in it and get a 10-point win, which was an impressive win. Very impressive to me.
Outside of the one 55-yard carry, you look at everything else, so it's 42-13. Is that 55? 42-13. Yep, 55. So it's 9, 18, 18. 26 carries, 55 yards. And then 1 carry, 55 yards. So defensively, you know, even with that long run, Oklahoma State still was stout against the run. Very, very stout. And so, what, OSU gets the week off before heading down to Austin to play Texas and then at Iowa State back-to-back weeks. So this is the chance for OSU to really put a foot forward in the Big 12 title game discussion.
Absolutely. Take advantage of this week off. You can get Texas licking their wounds if things go right for OU, and then Iowa State just isn't the same Iowa State we thought they'd be preseason, but it's never, ever easy going to Ames. I mean, it's never easy. They'll probably black it out if an undefeated OSU is coming to town.
Yeah.
And at that point, I mean, if they can look good beating Texas, I mean, who knows where they could be on the cusp of top 10, depending on everything else happening above them. You know, shoot, we had Oregon lost. So it could set up nicely for OSU if they can take care of business and, you know, find a way, I don't want to say fix the offense because it's better, but to get more efficient with their offense, they're a very dangerous team because the defense is good.
Yeah, OSU's defense clearly good. Yeah, and if you can split at worst these next two road games, but if you could figure out a way to win them both, man alive, then you're really kind of in the driver's seat because – barring upsets, that game at the end, I know how bad you're gonna want to win Bedlam, but you know, the goal is for that one not to matter. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, I mean, what if both teams come in undefeated? That's right. And everything, it's just a moot point.
Yeah, you're just going to play back-to-back weeks.
Has that happened in this Big 12 format? It hasn't, where the two teams are playing each other. Like, doesn't matter, we're going to play again next week. Or
it was close in 2018 with OU and West Virginia.
Yeah, West Virginia took a loss, though, right?
It was close, the week before. I think they lost to Tech, maybe. Where it was setting up as that game not mattering, and then when they lost that, when they had to beat OU to get there, and they didn't do it. As a matter of fact, they would have knocked OU out, I think, if I remember right. It had been Texas and West Virginia.
Exactly. That's what would have happened.
Yep. But instead, you know, the other way around, it ended up that it was OU and Texas. But, yeah, I mean, I think that's the goal, if you can do it. So, fun weekend in the Big 12. Fun weekend all around the country. We'll talk about it with Jim next. Hit some NFL as well. Last night's game. The hype surrounding the Brady and Belichick. It was fun to watch. Wasn't the greatest game of all time, but makes you appreciate Belichick. The way he can scheme up things. Yep. And even confuse Tom Brady a little bit.
Yeah.
Joined now by the voice you'll hear at 2 o'clock right on these airwaves. It is the ultimate Jim Traber. Jim, how are you?
I'm good, fellas. How you guys doing?
Hey, we're doing good. We heard your announcement as we were headed toward Bethany on Friday. Kind of fill us in, the listeners, if they didn't hear you on Friday, what your big announcement was and what's going to be coming down the pike.
Well, first it was that Julie was pregnant, but I was just... you like that? You had to like that.
I almost fell out of my chair.
Yeah, drove off the road.
Yeah, I thought that was a good little start to it. Well, yeah, listen, I'm really excited, man, because, you know, people have been talking to me for a long time now that they think that I should do a podcast. And then tell me that Julie, they just love listening to Julie and when we talk about our family and all those kind of things. So I finally convinced Julie that we should do a podcast. And I got to tell you, fellas, the first one's going up today. And it is, it's really good. I'm looking at my wife right now. She's, like, so nervous. She's got her hands over her eyes and everything. She's like, I'm telling you guys, it is really good. I'll just let you know there's going to be some sports, but a lot of it is just about life and, you know, marriage and family. And, you know, Julie had three little girls when I met her. I had two little boys. So it was almost the Brady Bunch. And we've had some incredible things, and I want to let people know that, you know, we're not trying to give marriage counseling. It's not like we're counselors. You know, both of us came off of pretty bad divorces, but we've been together for over 25 years. We've been through a whole bunch of stuff, and I think people are going to like it. So, right now we're up on Apple Podcast, we're up on Westwood One, and of course you can go to the Sports Animal. At .com, and also you can go to my Instagram at Jim Traber, and we also have a new Instagram called Julie and Jim Traber Podcast. So there's a lot of places. It won't be up until 2 o'clock today, though. It'll be up right at 2 o'clock when my show starts, and then people can go listen to it. But seriously, I think here's the deal, fellas. Your wives need to listen. This is more of a not just for women, but this will be a fun deal for like husbands and wives to listen. Especially for some of those women out there, they're like, I can't believe I got to listen to Traber all the time on the radio. Well, this will be a lot more about family stuff and everything because, and I'm going to tell you something, fellas, Julie's going to be a star. I'm letting you all know, a star.
That's fantastic because that's a lot of times if I'm with my wife, I'm hoping like that it's Friday about 4:20 because she likes to listen to music, the music game, and that's kind of it. So. Maybe this is a way to...
Tonight, man. I would love to hear yours, both you guys. Listen to the first one with your wife and tell me what you think. I want people that are in the business to tell me what they think because we've never done a podcast before. But yeah, we're gonna drop one every Monday and hopefully a lot of people will download and listen and subscribe.
All right, fantastic. We'll definitely do it.
I just found it on iTunes and. In fact, funny you mentioned that. I just shared it to my wife. I sent her the link. So I told her you need to follow
this. There's a trailer you can listen to. It's just about a minute, you know, where we kind of set it up. And like I said, it'll be up at 2 o'clock today. So that's really cool. So Great. It's on iTunes. I didn't even know that. See how stupid I am?
Yeah, the iTunes podcast, whatever it is. Yeah, it's on there. Yeah, great picture of you and your wife. Yeah.
Good. Very good. Very good.
All right, you want to start in college football or you want to start in the NFL?
I want to start with the most pathetic team I've ever seen in over 50 years of watching the Steelers, okay?
Okay.
It is pathetic. Oh, my gosh. You know, that defense has got to be just really killing themselves. And then they blocked that field goal, and I don't know. Everybody's saying that it was not offside. I don't know if it really matters or not, but the Steelers' offense is just embarrassing. You know, guys, that they've thrown the ball up behind the line of scrimmage on third and fourth down like 60% of the time? What are they doing? I thought this new offensive coordinator was going to do something good, but anyway, I just had to get that out. Okay, let's talk about real football now. What do you want to talk about? Let's go to college. You want to talk about college? Let's talk about college.
Yeah, what did you think? I want to start in Stillwater because something happened on Saturday night that doesn't happen very often, and that is a team winning when they're minus three in the turnover margin. Sanders threw a couple of bad picks early, but the defense marched right out there, forced punts with the ball inside their own 40-yard line, and eventually Jaylen Warren got going enough for Oklahoma State to win that game 24-14. You know, it's kind of a glass half full or half empty type thing because optimistically you go, and listen, we can win even when our quarterback tries to throw the game away, we've been good enough to win. On the other hand, though, you got to think that OSU and Sanders are going to have to do better as the season rolls along against different teams in order to make it to the Big 12 title game.
Yeah, I mean, Spencer Sanders, I mean, just the last 2 weeks have just been the epitome of Spencer Sanders. I mean, he plays one of his best games he's ever played, and then he throws two horrible interceptions. The other one he tried to force in. I know people say, well, it wasn't his fault. It's your fault if you're throwing it right there when a defender's all over a guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I will tell you this, fellas, this defense is really good, but I'll also say I think the Baylor offensive coordinator was the worst. He called the worst game I've ever seen in my life. I've never seen so many horrible plays on third downs and second and longs, and I mean, it was just ridiculous. And I know part of it's because of the quarterback's not very good. I don't know how Iowa State should be kicking themselves. Al Eschbeck all week said he didn't think Baylor was any good, and he was right. Baylor's defense is pretty good, I think, but their offense is horrific. But, yep, their defense at Oklahoma State's really, really good. I want to see them against a good offense, which I don't know. I guess Texas is going to be – I think Texas's offense is pretty daggone good. Obviously, OU's offense is good. Kansas State only can play offense against OU and nobody else. I don't understand that, but that's the way life is. But, no, it's a good win. They're 5-0. They get their break. And they get a chance, man. They got a chance to go to Arlington for the first time ever. We'll see. I mean, I still think Iowa State's pretty good. I don't know what's wrong with them, but I still think they're pretty good. But it's really embarrassing for Baylor's offense, some of the things they did. And when you throw a really bad offense with a bad coordinator against a really good defense, that's what you get, ugliness, and that's what happened.
Hey, you mentioned these next two games are going to be huge for OSU after the week off. They go down to Austin and play Texas, and just with the nature of what's coming up this week, with the emotion that goes with OU and Texas, there's probably not a better time to play Texas than after the game against OU, and then go up to Ames. You know, a split might be good enough to kind of get them into the Big 12 title game, a sweep, and they've got to be considered one of, if not the favorite, to be there.
Oh, yeah, if they win these next two games, I mean, they'd have to fall apart to get in, not to get in. This is serious now. You go, and unfortunately for them, they're both on the road, but we'll see. You know, they won it at Boise State. I don't think Boise State's near as good as probably either one of these two teams, but they won there. And I'm really anxious to see what Texas does against OU because I want to see how good their defense is. I think their defense is very average. But, yeah, no, listen, this is OSU's in good shape, man. 5-0, exactly where you want to be.
Well, let's focus on OU. I guess the question of the day after the game on Saturday, is the offense fixed? I was asked that a couple times, and I just said, I don't know. They look better, but I think there's some stuff they still need to work on. What's your assessment of how they played in Manhattan? Is the offense better? Did they fix some things?
Well, they played four real games this year. Two of them, they were terrible. One of them, they were okay. And this one, they were really good. So, I don't know. The answer to me is no, it's not fixed. But it could be fixed. I think they did a lot of really good things. I thought Lincoln Riley was back to his normal self. I really did. I thought that he called the game with a lot more imagination. He put Spencer Rattler into better situations. You know, I thought Rattler was obviously 88%. That's very impressive. But he had guys open, you know, and they threw the ball to Mims, and they threw the ball down the middle of the field. I mean, they did some things that they used to do. So I really thought that the offense was really good, really, really good. Now, the defense is another question because, man, I don't know what in the world they were doing. They look bad. You know, guys, when you say somebody doesn't tackle well, Deuce Vaughn, it doesn't matter who you are, you're probably not going to tackle him well. You know, it's just the way it is. He's just amazing with the moves that he can make. But they just didn't tackle well with anybody. And think about this. What if Skylar Thompson could have run? It was obvious that he couldn't run. His knee was messed up. Think if he could have run, because he had 7 touchdowns running, you know, in the last 2 years against OU. So it was just a tough situation for their defense. And I'm sure they're happy that Kansas State is off their feet and they're able to play them, because it's pretty obvious that Klieman and his offensive staff, they got Grinch's number, fellas. They out-coach Grinch every time they go against him. I thought it was interesting some of the things that Grinch said after the game. It sounds as if he was kind of mad at some of his players. You know, they do a great job at OU. Yeah, they do a great job of sticking up for everybody on the team, you know, no matter what. But, boy, he sounded like he was really mad at some players, didn't he?
Yeah, he was saying things that you don't normally hear. It's usually sugarcoating and trying to protect, you know, feelings or whatever. That's the opposite of what he was doing after that game on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't hear every single word, but he said something about practice, right? Did he say something about people aren't practicing well enough, or? I don't know. That
he said
something of that nature.
I'm quoting here. He said, "We believe in practice. Some of our players don't."
Yeah, what is that? I've never heard a coach say that. Wow. It is obvious that there are some players over there that are not doing what he wants. So that's interesting, man. The week of the Texas game, he's gonna be fired up all week, would be my guess.
Yeah, and you know, he's got some different guys not there. I mean, you know, Woody Washington is, I think, a big part of what they try to do. And, you know, he's one of the first guys in a long time in the secondary that looks like what Alabama and Georgia are throwing out there, at least physically. You know what I'm saying? He's got the size and the athleticism and whatnot. But it can't just be like, you know, Tay Martin coming back to Oklahoma State's offense. It can't just be that. You know, Woody Washington not being out there, it can't just be that he's not. There's other problems.
Well, they didn't have
outside
Turner Yell either, right?
Right.
Turner Yell didn't play either. Look, though, but listen, I don't. Here's my problem with this. We hear about, oh my gosh, we got so much depth that
right.
this guy can play and this guy, can, and then somebody gets hurt and go, oh my god, how are we going to play without him?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't. I mean, that they don't go together. You know, it's like the Harrison. I don't want to rip on the kid, but the Harrison kid at offensive tackle, fellas. Do you remember last year how great they said he was as a freshman? Oh, at practice, unbelievably, so good, blah, blah, blah. People run by him almost every game. So I'm tired of hearing how good people are. And this isn't just OU. Some at OSU, too. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, if they get Woody Washington back, how long is he out? Has anybody heard?
No. And what is wrong with him? I don't even know if anyone said.
We're not allowed to know that.
What's okay. wrong? Yeah. Like, man.
Like the nuclear bomb, how you make a nuclear bomb, same as whether a guy's hurt or not. So I don't know.
So for what you've seen, 2 weeks into the Big 12, how would you rank, say, the top 3 or 4? What order would you put them in so far with, you know, Oklahoma and Texas coming up this week?
I go OU 1, Texas 2, OSU 3. That's what I would do. And by the way, on TV last night, I picked Texas to beat OU, so I'm just letting you all know that ahead of time. I have a bad feeling. A few years ago, I said the exact same thing. I had a bad feeling, and people were like, what are you talking about? And it was the year with Kyler Murray, and I picked Texas, and they won. I hope I'm wrong, but I just have a feeling that OU is just kind of, you know, getting by, to tell you the truth. You know, it's just like, yeah, we're playing. You know, they always say, we're one play away, we're one this away. I don't believe that. I think that they've got some problems. So we'll see. Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, I hope I'm wrong. I don't want Texas to beat OU, but I just have a feeling that Texas is going to beat them. I still think OU is going to win the Big 12, you know, as they always do. But I just think in this game, I don't know. I got a bad feeling about the game. But I would say OU 1, Texas 2, OSU 3. And then if OSU can go to Texas and win, then I'll move OSU up. I still think Iowa State has a chance, though, fellas. Iowa State still has a chance, if you ask me.
Yeah, to your point there, doesn't it just kind of feel, it just feels like Oklahoma's waiting to lose and then turn it on after that like they do all the time?
Yeah. Well, they just it's just not – they're not playing. It's five games in, and they're just not playing really good – they're not playing great football. They're not. You know, finally the offense gets rolling again, and then the defense stinks it up. Now, if both sides of the ball play well, then this is a – I mean, the rest of the Big 12 has no chance. I will tell you this. I think OU has no chance against Georgia and Alabama, but that's another you know, statement to see if, even if they get there. But I don't know. I just have a feeling it's one of these deals where they're kind of teetering on the edge, and I think that this is going to be the week. Now, if this isn't the week, then, wow, you know, then they probably are going to run the table, although in Stillwater might be awfully interesting too. You never know.
Around the country, Jared and I talked last week. I thought that Cincinnati going to Notre Dame might have been the most important game for one of the group of five teams ever, or at least since the BCS started. Because with that win now, I actually think that people are going to give them the most legitimate shot at getting into a playoff that any of those teams have ever had. Talk about what Cincinnati has done with the scheduling of Indiana, even though they're not as good as we thought, and then obviously going to Notre Dame and winning.
Well, whenever I argue with Barry Trammell about the little guy, you know, he just loves the little guy, I always say to him, go play people. I mean, if you want to get in, go play a couple people. Well, they went to Indiana, who was supposed to be good, and to Notre Dame and won both. Now, to me, they are a legitimate team that could get into the Final Four. Things are going to have to happen. But, you know, I'll tell you what, if it comes down to, you know, Oregon with one loss and them with no losses, I probably would lean to Cincinnati just because I think that league out there stinks. But, you know, the ACC, I mean, Clemson's out. They're not going to get in with two losses the way they look. And then we all know that it's really likely it's going to be Georgia and Alabama. So you got two spots. You know, you're thinking that if OU gets in or maybe Ohio State runs the table, there might be one extra. And Notre Dame probably out now too. So, yeah, I mean, this is what you need to do. It's like, remember Central Florida? I mean, Central Florida a couple of years ago when they supposedly won the national championship said they did. They didn't play anybody. You know, this is legitimate. I'll tell you this. If Cincinnati does not get in and they're undefeated, then that they got a complaint. And by the way, maybe then these other idiots will vote for the 12-team playoff. By the way, you think that the Pac-12 wants a 12-team playoff now?
They should.
What do you think?
They ought to. I think in a lot of the way that Houston a couple of years ago with Herman when the year before they won a big bowl and then they beat OU to start and kind of fizzled out, I actually think that the game last year with Cincinnati taking Georgia right down to the wire in what the Peach Bowl or whatever, I think that's going to help factor in if they can continue to win all their games.
I think it helps. I'll tell you this, though, guys. I'll tell you this, guys. I don't really care about those bowl games. When you're Oklahoma, and we've seen it with them, Alabama, and we've seen it with them, Georgia, when you go to a bowl game that is not for your goal, I don't care about the game. I'm sorry. I mean, everybody, you know, when Saban said this game's not that big to us, when OU went down there and won, that was true. It was true. OU losing to Boise, right? OU losing to West Virginia. When your number one goal is to be in the Final Four or win a national championship and you don't get there, that bowl game means nothing to me. I'm sorry. It just doesn't. The only thing I'm giving Cincinnati is the league is decent. It's not great. It's decent, and they went and played some people on the road. So now I'm finally giving them something.
Hanging out with Jim Traber talking about the football weekend. Let's go to the NFL. Last night, a lot of emotion up in New England with Tom Brady making his return to play the Patriots. You know, it was a sloppy game. The weather wasn't great. And what happened at the end? You know, if you're Belichick, and if anybody ought to know this, it should be him. But I cannot believe he tried to kick a 56-yard field goal in that weather with Nick Folk obviously not being right, as opposed to a 4th-and-3 pick it up. Because here's the problem, Jim. We both know it, and I think Belichick should have. Even if Folk makes that kick, Brady's got 2 timeouts, 50 seconds left to go kick a field goal to win the game. And I believe with all my heart that he would have done it. I can't believe Belichick settled for a 56-yarder instead of trying to pick up a first down and get a little bit closer and not give his former quarterback a shot with the ball.
You know what's shocking, too? I agree with you 1,000,000,000%. But you know what's shocking? I'm watching Get Up this morning, and all 3 of them disagree. Dan Orlovsky, Rex Ryan, and Ryan Clark, every single one of them said he did the right thing. Well, guess what, fellas? I heard on the radio driving home from my TV show last night, it is a 53% chance that you get a 4th-and-3, and it's a 46% chance that you kick a 56-yard field goal. So just by the numbers, we're right. You mm-hmm. and I are right.
Right.
And I think those dudes, they don't want to take a shot at Belichick. You know how that is. I mean, they're all little, like, in their little fraternity. But I agree with you 100%. I mean, I'm going for that. I mean, it's ridiculous. Tampa Bay's defense was on its heels. Mac Jones was making good plays. I mean, even if he makes it, I'd probably say that. I would hope I say the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because we all probably wanted Brady to – we wanted to see if he could come back. But I will tell you this, guys. That's the hardest football game I've ever watched in my life because I wanted it to tie. I hate both teams. I hate. I don't like Belichick, and I don't like Brady, and I just basically wanted them. I didn't want either one of them to win. I don't know who to cheer for. Who were you guys cheering for?
Nobody.
I was just watching.
Just kind of watching, yeah.
I was watching like it was a soap opera. I didn't care who won. I just wanted to see what would happen after the game, and there was a quick hug, and that was it. So I didn't care
supposedly
who won.
Supposedly they talked for 20 minutes after the game.
Yeah,
oh, did they?
Yeah,
I think, on camera, they just like a hug, and then they parted ways, but they must have talked afterwards.
But I guess underneath somewhere, I guess they talked. So, I mean, you know how Belichick doesn't want to let anybody know that he let his guard down. So.
Right. Yeah.
But and I'm sure they talked.
I think I'd have to lean Brady in this just because of that, just because of Belichick. He's a little bit too Greg Popovich for my taste.
You know what Julie said? Julie said, I want Brady to win because I don't like the way Belichick treats the media, and you're in the media.
Yeah.
I was like, well, Julie, I've never been in one of his press conferences, so it's not me. He goes, I don't care. I don't care. yeah, it was ridiculous.
Elsewhere, Jared's preseason pick to be the MVP, he's looking pretty smart right about now. He picked Kyler Murray to be that man. Arizona went to L.A. and just rolled up the Rams yesterday. Between them, you know, Buffalo, I know you loved Buffalo going into the year. That crazy loss to your Steelers in week one, since then they've just been pounding people. You know, kind of your early, you know, we played, what, quarter of the way through the season. Where are you at as far as some different teams around the NFL that look like they may be in that contender status?
Well, Kyler Murray, he played a great game yesterday. He was very under control. You know, listen, you don't go 17-0 in this league. You guys know I picked the Rams. I bet money on the Rams. Mm-hmm. I bet them at 14-1 in Vegas. I still feel good about them. You're going to lose games. I mean, did that look ugly? Sure, it looked ugly. But I do think that the Cardinals are for real. I mean, that division is unbelievable. I mean, it is so tough. You know, look at the 49ers, Seattle beating them. Who knows? I do think it's going to come down to the Cardinals and the Rams, so that certainly helps the Cardinals winning on the road. Buffalo's good. Kansas City, I mean, their defense is terrible. I mean, I just don't understand how bad their defense is. But, yeah, Buffalo's got a legitimate chance in the AFC. Your Cowboys, fellas, it's the best team they've had in a long, long time. Their offense is a machine. Their defense is better. I'm not ready to go on a big limb for the defense, but they're better. They take advantage, you know, with Diggs now, which they got 5 interceptions this year. So they're the Cowboys definitely look better. I thought that was a good win. I think Carolina is a good team. But yeah, there's a bunch of teams I think that can win. And I don't know. I picked the Chiefs and the Rams. I don't know about the Chiefs. The Chiefs are they better figure out something on defense. And the Cardinals, first time they were 4-0 in over 40 years, or second time, excuse me. Second time. By the way, the last time they were 4-0, they went 5-11. I don't know if you know that.
So my MVP pick's not looking too good. Thanks for that.
No, he's got a great chance. Right now, he's got to be the leader of it. He's got to be the leader for MVP. He looks really good. And Dak has got to be right there with him.
I keep hearing his name in that discussion, too. If he can be continue to be consistent like he is, he's going to be up there.
I mean, with the Cowboys, it's obvious, and you said it as soon as you saw him in training camp or on the Hard Knocks show, Zeke Elliott has clearly put in a little bit of work to be in shape. What is the mindset from a guy that can't be consistent in that way? I mean, he wasn't in shape last year, you could tell, and now it feels like you're looking at the rookie Zeke as opposed to the little fat guy that was out there last year.
Every time, if I'm Jerry Jones, of course he would never do this because he's like the father figure, but every single time I saw Zeke, I would say to him, "Well, you look good, dude. What happened last year? Why did you decide to just like quit last year? Why did you decide to be a fat boy?" Because you're right. He wasted an entire year. Oh, by the way, they're paying him $15 million to waste the year. Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. Why did he do that? No, he looks good. He looks good, man. He really looks good. And then Pollard is such a tremendous, you know, addition because he's a different runner. They got it going on offense, fellas. They're good. I mean, they are really good on offense. There's no doubt about it. On defense, they're better. So that division, I'll tell you what, if the Washington football team had won yesterday, the division might have been over this early. But they did win, so we'll still see. But I think your Cowboys are in the. They're going to be a playoff team. May even win a playoff game. I know you guys will. Gosh, I don't know what y'all would do if they win a playoff game. All over on the ground, but it must be a good feeling for all the Cowboys fans that the Steelers stink and they're on the way up, huh? That must be nice.
I'm just cautiously optimistic.
That's how I'm approaching.
I don't trust the defense, but man, they do. They're opportunistic and make plays when they need to. And we, you know, it's just. It's a little bit weird. It really is, but it's
one of them,
fun so
hey,
far.
One of them may bribe the dude that when he pees in the cup, like your other boy Colin. What a solid organization you guys have, huh? Holy moly!
Yeah, it just keeps getting worse. That story.
Hey Jim, while we got time, and we don't have a lot of time, but tell us where you're going to be for OU Texas. Yep. Give us a little preview.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, man. We're going to be down at this place called the Reservoir, and it's in the Toyota Music Center in Las Colinas. And it is just unbelievable, guys. It really is. And if people are looking, I think they still have a couple rooms left in the Westin right there next to it. But if you guys have never been down there, man, the whole area is just all these restaurants and bars everywhere. And there's this little courtyard area where I'll be doing my show. Al's going to be doing his show inside the hotel. And it is going to be a great, great time. And then pre and post game, I don't know about north and east, you know, because I'm from the daggone East Coast. We don't say that. We say right and left.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's the north. What side is the Texas fans on?
North.
Okay, so we're in the northeast corner of the stadium. It's just right past the stadium. We've got a great little location there. So if you're going to go to the game and you're inside the fairgrounds, come by and see us there. We're going to have it loaded up, man. We are going to have it loaded up, and we'll be on the air bright and early at 8 o'clock in the morning on Saturday getting after it.
All right, man. It's going to be awesome. We've walked by that location a couple times down there years ago after both wins and losses, but it's always a good time down at the State Fair. Jim, thanks so much for joining us. Congratulations to you and Julie on your podcast. I can't wait to check it out this afternoon or this evening.
Yeah, I can't wait. I don't really care as much about what you two is. I want to see what your wives say.
Okay, man.
Because we all know the wives are running the show. That's why it's called the Julie and Jim Traver podcast.
Yeah, I noticed that she got the top billing there. I wasn't going to bring that up unless you did.
She comes first.
So. All right, man. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great day, and we'll be listening this afternoon.
Fellas. Hey, how'd the Elks do this weekend?
It wasn't great. 27-6, they lost their first game to Bethany. It's one of those games where the Elks outgained Bethany, but the stats don't matter. The scoreboard does. And kickoff return for a touchdown Bethany got, and Elks threw an interception on about their own 12-yard line or so to start the third quarter, and that was kind of the end of the deal.
Well, they're really like 5-1?
4-1. Yeah, 4-1 with a couple of home games coming up, so hopefully 6-1, headed to cash in a couple of weeks.
All right, very good, my man.
All right, man. Thank you, Jim. Have a great day.
Bye.
All right, the ultimate Jim Traber joining us as he does on Mondays. Good stuff.
Always good stuff.
Fired up.
Look forward to this podcast.
We'll talk. Yeah, we'll obviously hit OU Texas all week long. It's one of the
OU Texas
top
week.
2, 3, 4 games in college football. It's going to be an interesting one.
It's
too.
It's nice that they're both ranked. Only one loss apiece, or one loss between the two of them.
It's been a while since it's been this big a game. We'll be back tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way!